Welcome back to another episode of Ignite Your Power, the Kathy Mao podcast. Today's episode is a beautiful reminder that your worth has never been tied to your accomplishments. Your magic has always been within you. My guest, Simone Kanego, is a beautiful storyteller, international speaker, TEDx presenter, mom of six, philanthropist, and author of The Extraordinary Unordinary You. From climbing Mount Kilimanjaro to raising a family through birth and adoption, Simone's journey is something but ordinary. But what makes it truly extraordinary is her deep commitment to being real. For years, Simone struggled with self-doubt, constantly battling the loudest critic of all, her own inner voice, like most of us do. But through choosing authenticity, service, and the courage to rewrite how she saw herself, she began to unleash the magic that was always there. In this conversation, we talk about what it means to stop performing and start showing up as your true self. We explore identity, purpose, motherhood, and the power of doing small things that make a big impact. Whether you're navigating your own inner critic or searching for your spark, this episode is for you. So let's dive in and say hi to Simone. How are
we? Hi. How's your day?
Great. It's been busy, but great. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's just get in. You've said for years you couldn't see the magic within yourself. Can you take us back to that time and what it felt like?
Yeah, I struggled for a really long time. I didn't see my worth. I didn't feel like I was enough. And I had this facade. Like, I just hid behind something. And everybody thought that I was the strongest person. I had six kids. They thought I was so organized that I had it all together. But behind the mask, I was really struggling. And that's how I felt. I felt that I wasn't doing a good job, that I wasn't making a difference in the world. And I kind of second-guessed everything and compared myself to everybody.
Yeah. Like we all, like most of us do this. We do struggle with ourselves mostly, and we're so hard on ourselves. So what actually got you to change the narrative and want to change that about yourself?
So the first thing that happened was I was at a women's event, and this video came on, Colby Calais Try. And if you haven't watched it, you should watch it. It's a video of women peeling back the layers, taking off the mask, taking off the makeup, and being exactly who they are, right? And I'm not saying don't wear makeup. I wear makeup. That's not the thing. But it's the idea of really connecting with who we are. And I'm at this event, and I don't think I had cried in years. So my friends always saw me as the strong one. If you need something, call Simone. And I literally just burst out crying. And they didn't know what to do. They were like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Like, they didn't even know what to say to me. And so I finally said my truths, that I really struggle, that I never feel like I'm enough, that I struggle with weight and I always feel bad about myself. And they were shocked because they thought I was the one that had it all together. And that was a big turning point for me to really say, here's who I am. Here's what's happening. And I have been just putting up this front for all these years, pretending everything was okay.
Yeah, pretending that everything is okay. And a lot of us do put on that mask. Like, we are supposed to just hide everything. And that's so beautiful that you got that space to open up and just let it all out and just truly, you know, be safe enough to do that and feel like, okay, I don't have to be this persona that I thought I had to be. But was it because your childhood or your life circumstances that made you think you had to be strong all the time, or you were just casted as putting on that role as a child? Because I know for me, I took on the role in my family being the youngest, but for some reason, I thought that I had to be the one to fix everything for everybody and be that safe space for everybody else except for myself. And I put on that role. Like, I chose that, you know, as a child. So I wonder if that was for you, like how that turned out for
So back then I wasn't a fixer, but I think I mentioned this to you before, that I had an abusive relationship in high school. So I had an abusive boyfriend, and I never really dealt with it. I just, when I finally left, of course, there was a lot of shame that, you know, why did I let this happen? And, you know, there shouldn't be shame, right? But I stuffed it down for years. My husband knew about it. My kids knew about it. None of my friends knew about it until after that event that I told them, like, here's what I've been struggling with all these years. But that's part of it, is that I didn't deal with that. So that kind of just made me feel bad about myself for a really long time. And then what happened with that is I did become the fixer. I decided that I needed to be everything to everyone to kind of make up that gap that I was struggling with. And that's exactly what I did. So anytime anybody needed something, I became the yes girl. Yes, I can help with that. Yes, I can do that. Yes, I'll give up my time to do that, whatever it was. And just never setting boundaries and not understanding that when we say no to things, we open the door for the yeses that we really want.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that, because it is true. So you had that event and then you made yourself the yes girl. And a lot of us, again, become a yes person for people pleasing. And that's what we're taught, again, right, to do in our society. Like, other people should be first, and ourselves, if you focus on yourself, you're super selfish, etc. All those narratives. Mm-hmm. So with all of that realization, after going through that and opening up and knowing that you can put that shield down, what are some healing things that you started to do after this realization to not be that yes girl and to start being you and not do everything and be the person that is always there for others and not really for yourself?
Yeah, I focused a lot on self-care, and I know sometimes people will say, oh, isn't that selfish? No, self-care is not selfish, right? I mean, you're a much better person when you take care of yourself first. And one of the biggest things I did was when I climbed Kilimanjaro. That was something completely out of my comfort zone. And I did have people ask me, wait, you're going to leave your family at home for a week while you go climb a mountain? What if something happens? And what's, you know, that's so selfish of you. No, it's not selfish. It's self-care. I mean, what a great thing for my kids to be able to see that you can do anything you want to do if you set the goal and put in the work. Got to put in the work. But it's crazy how many people would be like, oh, I could never do that. That's, you know, I couldn't take that time away from this and that. And, you know, you see it all the time that self-care is still thought of as not necessary, that it's selfish. I mean, luckily, people are talking about it more and more, and people are taking more time for themselves.
Yeah, nowadays, which is great. But what inspired you to want to climb that mountain? Like, why was that on your to-do list? What really inspired that?
It actually was not on my to-do list. I have never climbed anything before. I live in Florida at sea level. We have 16 steps in our house. That's about as good as it gets. but we had a friend who had climbed it the year before, and he actually asked my husband if he wanted to do it. And my husband basically said, 1, 2, 3, no, thank you. Although he disagrees with that story, but that's okay. That's the story in my head. And so he said, call Simone. And our friend called us, and called me. And I said, yes. And it's a great question. Why did I say yes? Part of it is probably because I was the yes girl. I always felt like if I didn't say yes, I was letting someone down. Part of it was also because I really needed to get out of my comfort zone. And I realized how much I was struggling and that I needed something to help me realize what I was capable of. And people say, well, if you didn't make it to the summit, would you have felt the same achievement? And I say yes, because it's about the action. It's about taking action. It's not about the actual summit itself. It's the fact that I trained, I put in the work, and I showed up not knowing anybody. So I think that's such an important thing when we talk about building confidence, that it's about taking that next step and not waiting for someone else to say, oh, you should take that next step. It's really us telling ourselves because that's what's most important.
Yeah, I love that. I love that how you shared that story and why you did it. And building that confidence piece you mentioned, that's beautiful, because in order to really build up confidence, you have to get outside of your comfort zone. And you did that. That was like a story of true resilience of like, okay, I've never done this, but I'm just going to do it anyways. And then after you accomplished it, how did you feel? Like, what was that feeling? I'm sure it felt so great. And you're just like, wow, I can't believe I did it, you know? And how did that build up your confidence too?
Yeah, it did feel amazing. I mean, we're at the summit and it's hard to breathe, but once we got back down, I was like, wow, we did this. But I think the biggest thing was it really helped me realize that I can do whatever I want to do, but I have to put in the work and not waiting for someone else to tell me that I'm ready for something or give me permission for something. It's really about how I feel, asking myself what I want. And I think oftentimes we don't do that, especially as moms. We think about, and this applies to women in general, this applies to men too. Like we think about what everybody else needs first instead of what we actually want. And that trip made me realize I can do both, right? I can be a great mom and I can work. I can be a great mom and I can climb a mountain. That they're not two separate things. So when people feel guilty about trying to find balance in their lives, it's one of those things where it doesn't have to be balanced in every moment, right? You get to choose things for yourself. And I think too often we say that we can't do that because then someone else doesn't get exactly what they need in the moment. But we need to ask ourselves what we need.
And how do you get that awareness? How did you get that awareness? Because I know a lot of us don't have that awareness to even ask those type of questions. Like, what do we need? And when I first went on my own healing journey and understanding what I needed, I didn't even understand myself. Like, I truly didn't even know what made me happy. Someone would ask me, or my friends who are coaches would ask me, like, how would you describe yourself or what makes you happy? And I would always describe somebody else or how they made me feel. And I'm sure most of us have that narrative, if we're women, especially because we're just caregivers. And at a young age, we're already conditioned to worry and care about other people. And I was like, whoa, this is very interesting. Yeah, I never noticed that. Like, everything had to be applied to somebody else. Like, oh, I love it when they do this or say something to me, like my daughter. They're like, no, besides your daughter, separate from your daughter, separate from your relationships. So what truly makes you happy? And I'm like, that was tough. That was a very hard question. But I had to have somebody ask me those. Then I started being aware of like, oh, okay. But we don't really know how to understand ourselves until we take that time. So how did that look for you? And do you have any suggestions that you can give to the listeners?
Yeah, that it really is about asking yourself all those questions. We all, when we were little, we make up these stories about what we want to be, right? I wanted to be an actress. And then I went to school and I was going to go to medical school and I failed organic chemistry. So that didn't happen. And I went into accounting because that I was good at math. And my dad said, because at that point I said, I want to be an actress. Well, stuff all those things down for years. And I love storytelling. So I'm not an actress, but I get to be on podcasts. I get to have my own podcast. I get to speak on stage. So I was really going back to ask myself, what are those things? When I was a little kid, what did I love? Right. And not only what do I love, but what am I good at? And so I think it's like pairing those things back. But this is part of why I created the method that I have, which is the real method, which is the steps to it are respect yourself, embrace your failures, ask yourself what you want, and live without limits. And the respect yourself part is about setting boundaries, right? We were taught to respect our elders, our peers, but I don't ever remember being taught to respect myself, which is the most important thing. And I think when we learn self-respect, we understand boundaries. We understand that it's important to say no to the things that don't serve us. And we understand that we need to choose things. I'm not saying that your family doesn't come first. I'm saying you choose things that make you happy as well. So there is time for yourself, even though it might be busy. And that's when your kids are little. It's busy. That's just what it is. Then embracing your failures. I think we're so afraid of failing that we're not even willing to try. And really saying, why not try something new, right? I mean, going out and climbing a mountain was something new. And right, if I failed, I would have learned something. It's not about the, okay, now I'll never try anything again because I failed. It's how you move forward, right? When I failed organic chemistry, I did something different. I went into accounting, right? It's not a stop sign. So, and then the ask yourself what you want is all the questions that we talked about. And living without limits, I think, is so important because we limit ourselves every day. We tell ourselves that we're not good enough. We're not smart enough. We're not pretty enough. We're not tall enough, whatever it is. We limit ourselves. And it's very hard for your brain believes what you tell it. So when you're saying all the time that you're not good enough, that's what you start to believe. And that's why it's so important that we use positive affirmations and positive self-talk to move us forward.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing your being real method. That is so helpful and very insightful for someone who isn't aware to bring awareness and to ask those questions and to really start understanding yourself, to love yourself more. And that's mm-hmm. what it's all about. And I love how you said that is how, yeah, even though you have kids or even though you have other things to do, but how do you bring it joy that you all can have fun and enjoy it too and live life and be happy? And yeah, it doesn't have to be one or the other. It can be combined somehow if mm-hmm. you choose to be that way or to make it that way, which yeah, that is so beautiful. I love that method. I'm going to use that now. I'm going to try to use it more often. Yeah. Did it just come to you one day or is it through your writing, you know, when you were writing your book and then you figured out that method?
Well, what I did was I went back in time to think about what I needed to do to get to where I was. So when I, after Kilimanjaro, I was like, okay, what were the steps I took? And the first one was about respecting myself. And the second one was about not thinking of failures as a stop sign, saying, okay, just because you failed at something doesn't mean you're a failure, right? You just try again. And then the asking myself what I wanted was a hard thing because for so long I had lost myself. My youngest daughter is a senior in high school. So when she moves out next year, when she goes to college, I will have had kids in my house for 30 years straight. That's a long period of time, right? And so I wanted to make sure that I could reconnect with myself because I didn't want to feel like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do once my kids leave because my identity is completely tied to theirs. So that was going through those steps of really saying, what am I good at? What do I really enjoy? And really figuring that out so that I can continue doing stuff. So when they leave, when it's completely empty in here and nice and quiet, I'll be able to, have really great days and not be sad. Like, oh my gosh, my kids are all gone.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I can't even imagine going through that period of time because my daughter is only 2, about to be 3. And I'm like, wow, your youngest is going to be off on their own. It's like, wow, it's going to be so different. And that's beautiful that you reflected. And I love the picture of your kids there. You have how many kids total?
6. There's one missing in that photo. Okay. So yeah. Millie is not in that photo. I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, I need to put the full photo of them up there. So yeah.
That's something you can do when she's off to college.
I know. Exactly. That's what tomorrow's for.
Oh my goodness. She's leaving.
No, but I'm just saying anytime I have something to do and I don't get it done, I'll say that's what tomorrow's for.
Oh, so, nice. Yeah. Okay. That's a very positive thing to say to yourself, which is beautiful. And I feel like you do have such a positive mindset because you're just glowing. And when someone really takes care of themselves, you can see it through their face or like the glow or the eyes. And I really think that your eyes speak to you or speak to other people. It does to me. When I look at someone, I look at their eyes and you can tell. Like if something really bothers you, you can see it. Or if you're really happy or you're glowing, whatever, your face really tells you. So you just look so beautiful. And even though you just went through some surgery too, and I'm sure it's been very different, and navigating life can be probably be frustrating for you right now, but you're just still like going.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, you adapt to whatever's happening. I am a side sleeper. I now have to sleep on my back because I had shoulder surgery, and that was probably the hardest thing to get used to. But now, you know, once this is all done, I don't know, will I sleep on my side again, or will I permanently be a back sleeper? We'll find out.
Yeah, that's funny because I'm a back sleeper. I don't like to sleep on my side. So it's so interesting how we all have our own things, and how did that come about? Like, why did these habits just come? It's just, yeah, very interesting. But what has motherhood, especially your adoption journey, taught you about your identity and purpose?
Yeah, so definitely my purpose really is, first and foremost, is to raise good humans. And then the second part of my purpose is to help empower other women, because I know what it's like to really struggle and to feel like you're not enough, and to come out on the other side and think, why did I ever feel like that? We all are, just like our habits are unique. We're all unique. Every single person in this world is different, right? You might have a doppelganger out there, but every single person is different. And it's not about comparing yourself to other people. It's about being who you are, because your uniqueness is what makes the world a better place. So that was a big part of it.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And during the adoption period, were you adopting and then having your own simultaneously, or what was the decision in your family dynamics?
So we had our biological kids first, and mm-hmm. So we had three kids, and then we adopted our son Noah from South Korea. He was 2 months old at the time. Then we adopted Ari from Ethiopia. He was 4.5 years old. And then we adopted Millie. And we had actually requested an older, you can put in like a request for what you think will match your family. We requested a boy between 4 and 10, and they matched us with Millie. And she was 2.5. But she completes our family. She really is the grand finale. She is exactly what our family needed. And yeah, I mean, it was complete chaos, right? I mean, yeah. Our oldest was 10 when we adopted Noah, and he came with me to South Korea to bring Noah home. And that was like a really big journey for him, really. And understanding that at 10 years old, he really grew up like helping with things. And Noah was a crier. He cried all the time. 16 out of the 18 hours from Seoul to Chicago, he cried. I stood in the galley the entire time. I thought I was being really smart. I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy first class seats and we'll lay down. And the plane took off and he started screaming and never stopped. Jacob, my oldest son, had the best flight of his life, because when I finally came back out there to check on him, he was like wearing the PJs that they gave him, and he was passed out. He could see he was watching a movie. Some of his food was still left. And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it was crazy, but I wouldn't have changed anything. Like, it was such an amazing experience. And people ask all the time, like, why did you adopt? Well, I could have had more biological children, but there are just so many amazing kids in the world waiting for a family to love them. And we thought we could be that family. So we didn't know at the time that we would adopt three times. We thought it would be once. And then after bringing Noah home, we really felt that we wanted to do more. We wanted more kids, and that's how we wanted to build our family. And it's really, it's so fun to watch them now as adults, almost adults. I mean, I'm not going to consider them fully adults until they're off the payroll. Yeah. doesn't matter how old they are. Yeah. But it's so fun to watch how they interact now, and how they're all so different. Doesn't matter biologic or adopted, it's just been such an amazing emotional experience to watch them grow up.
Oh, you guys are so loving, and I love to hear stories like this because I've never experienced or known people that adopted. So when I hear you talk about that in such a loving way, it's just so beautiful, and it just shows like the mission of kindness that you and your husband are creating and showing to the world that you can do this. Even when you have biological kids yourself, you still went out of your comfort zone to like, hey, maybe I can love something or more than just my own kids. Because right now in the infertility world, a lot of women just want to have their own. They're not very open-minded to, maybe I can adopt. It's like a lot of women spend so much money trying to do IVF and literally getting loans out just to have that chance of motherhood. But this is like a story that you can show. Well, it can be more than just
You know, it's hard for me to say because I had biological kids first, right? But I can tell you that this was another question that friends asked, like, do you feel different about your adopted kids than your biological? I said, no, they're all my kids. I feel the same. Like, I feel exactly the same. Like, they're as crazy and chaotic, and they're, you know, I And well, who's the favorite? I was like, most days I don't like any of them, okay? There's no favorite. But, you know, I don't feel, because I went into it with the mindset that these are all our kids and there's no difference of whether I gave birth to them or not. And I think that's the cool thing about love, right? I mean, think about your if you have a spouse, right? You didn't give birth to your spouse and you love them, right? So you can definitely love a child as much, right? So that part shouldn't matter at all.
And your story just gave me chills though when you just said that, because it is true. I believe we're just all souls and we're just like in this meat suit of a thing. So it doesn't really matter what you look like. It's just your soul if you connect with them or not on a soul level. And you did with your adopted children. Do you actually immerse them in their own culture as well, or do you try to do that?
So when they were younger, we tried, and
You
you know, like anything else. So when Ari came home, he was 4 and a half, and he had a language. He had a different language. He spoke, it's a tribal language called Sidamina. He's from the Sidama region, and so there was another little boy that was adopted at the same time, and they were friends. So at first, we got them together a few times. We tried to get them on the phone. They would only speak English to each other once they learned English, and I was like, "Come on, guys! Nope, they only wanted to speak English." So, you know, the things that we tried for that. I mean, our house is very much like there's artwork all over of it's from Africa, from Asia, so all that kind of stuff. We cook all kinds of different kinds of foods, and so that kind of stuff. But in terms of language, we did not preserve that. Not because we didn't want to. I was like, come on, remember, keep studying. No,
It's
it's, you know,
hard.
it's hard, and they also get to choose, right? They're human, so if they want to do something, the one thing we did for both because Ari and Millie, excuse me, came home a little bit older, that we kept their names. So Ari's name is Argao and Millie's name is Millione, and so we just call them Millie and Ari for short. Noah's name was Yun Se Yu, and since he was a baby, we said, okay, let's Yun Se Yu Kanego is like a really big mouthful. And we say to the kids too, like, you can always change it later. Because Ari says, like, why don't you just change it to Ari? I was like, because it's the only thing you came with, your name and your shirt. That's it. Those are the two things. So if you want to change it later, you can do whatever you want, but that's for you to choose. So.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I love how you tried to like maintain their name and their culture. That's beautiful. I love that. But really, speaking another language is really tough. I mean, I speak Mandarin, but it's because my parents enforced it in us and we had to speak it at home or else we would have lost it, right? And so how are they going to communicate and have that on a daily basis? That's not possible. And it's funny because I'm trying to teach my daughter Mandarin now. And my Mandarin's not that great because I'm a first generation, so I was not born in that country. So teaching my daughter, it's like kind of Chinglish sometimes, but At least it's better than nothing.
Yeah, I think it's really good. I think it's like great for your brain. I wish that my dad spoke German and Hebrew, and I wish he would have spoke to me, but because it was my mom, my mom only spoke English, so that was it, right? So I wish I would have learned another language as a child. Now my sister, she lives in Switzerland, and so her kids speak English and Swiss dialect of German, and I just think it's so good for your brain. So whether it's perfect or not, it doesn't matter because there's no such thing as perfection.
Yeah, so true. Thank you for sharing that. I love that. And I really believe that because the more you learn and the different ways your brain will start using the neurons and whatnot, whatever our brain does to understand all these and put it together, which is pretty cool. Since we're talking about speaking, I know you've done TEDx talks and you even have a podcast with your daughter. Tell me, how did you get into speaking and why you feel like I know you said you love speaking and you like, acting, but how did that turn into speaking on big stages and turning it into a podcast with your daughter too? That's pretty cool.
Again, it's been a lot of fun. I started speaking through volunteer roles, and I never thought I had a story, right? That was my limiting beliefs that what my life was wouldn't inspire anybody else. And I was the first time I was asked to speak, I don't remember how many years ago it was. Actually, I do 2013. And I didn't know what I was doing. But the goal was to inspire and by sharing my life's journey. And it worked. I mean, I had people crying, I had people laughing, and I was like, oh, wow, this is what it's supposed to be, right? And then I fell in love with it. I was like, this is, if you can and change one person's mind, inspire someone to do something differently, to feel better about themselves, then that was exactly what I wanted to do. And so I kept going with the volunteer roles, and then I started getting asked to speak to and get paid. And I was like, well, this is even better, right? And then I wrote a book, and then after that, we started the podcast. And the podcast started because we just have really fun conversations. That was like the beginning of it. So we would have these ridiculous conversations. I'm like, why don't we start recording them? So we started doing like Instagram lives and that kind of stuff. And then one day we said, why don't we do a podcast? And so we did. And it's been over 2 years now. And it has been really a lot of fun. And we have learned so much. I think for her, it has been because it's called Her Unshakable Confidence. It's really about helping her build confidence and obviously the listeners as well. But watching how, when we have guests on, how different we react to things, but how sometimes we have the same reaction and the aha moments we have. And I think it's really, if you ask her, she would tell you that it has really changed how she shows up for herself, how she advocates for herself. She's a second year law student, and she said, I have no problem now getting up in front of class and speaking. And when I get called on and they're random call outs that they do, I have no problem because I know I'm prepared and I know what I need to do. And so I think that's been probably the biggest benefit of it is that it really has helped her by listening to not just our conversations, but by having really cool guests on that she's like, wow, I never thought about it that way before.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's why I love podcasting. And I don't know if you know my story of why I started it too. And I started it because, again, I'm a first generation and I grew up speaking Mandarin. So English is actually my second language, which is funny because I still have a problem with speaking Mandarin. But I wanted to start because I wanted to be better at speaking. And it's just so powerful how podcasting can give you that ability to be better and giving you confidence for that. So anybody listening right now, if you've been wanting to do a podcast or if you want to get some more skills, just start one and just do it. You never know where it takes you. And that's so cool that you have it with your daughter too. It's something fun that you guys get to do together, you know? And I know you shared something that your daughter was excited to do the podcasting with you weekly, which is so great because when she's in law school, and I don't know how she's surviving law school, my sister went through it. She's like, this is it's hell.
Yeah.
Well, taking the bar was actually the worst. That's what she mm-hmm. said. Yeah. It's easier now if she took the 3-day one. I guess now it's 2 days or.
Yeah, I think they're just changing it up. So, yeah, we'll see what it's going to be like.
Yeah, that's crazy. But go her. That's amazing. And it gave her confidence. And like you said, you shared that. It's like one of the best parts for her or for the week, which is so beautiful to have that bond.
Yeah. And it's funny because with 6 kids, we are like, okay, when we start doing it, we're like, let's see if we can get every kid on the podcast. No way. My oldest daughter went on one time and she goes, I don't know how you guys like this. It is so uncomfortable. You have to think way too fast. I don't want to think like this. So I was like, okay, that's the end of her guesting on the show. And I think one day we'll bring my husband on, but everybody else is like, no, thank you. So what? we get to talk about them. So.
So interesting. I never thought of that. I guess, yeah, it is a skill to think fast. I guess I'm just so used to it because I just do it all the time. But yeah, that's very true. And some people just don't like to talk and they're just like, oh, no, thanks.
Yeah.
I guess my world is surrounded by people who love to talk.
I know. Well, my oldest daughter loves to talk. She just doesn't like to, she likes to talk about what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. She doesn't necessarily want to go through like questions and have to think about different things. She's like, okay, let me tell you about my day. And then, but not a whole, and it was funny to see her on it. Cause we were like, what do you think about this? She's like, oh my gosh, like, stop asking me. Yeah.
One day she'll appreciate it.
Yeah. I think she appreciates it. She's like, woo. Okay. That's hard. That's, mm-hmm. that's out of my comfort zone. I was like, well, that's why you should do it more. But
yeah. Yeah. Through time. So let's talk a little bit about your book. What inspired you to write it? Because I know you said you had a timeline, like you started speaking on stages and then you wrote your book and then you got your podcast. So actually what really truly inspired you to write that book? Because it takes a lot of time too to sit down and write a book, which is amazing. And it's right behind you, which is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So really through speaking is when I started thinking about writing a book. Again, I had people ask me after I would speak, oh, do you have a book? No, I'm not a writer. Again, limiting myself, right? Saying what I'm not capable of. And they're like, oh, you should really write a book. You have great stories. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, why am I limiting myself, right? If I really love the speaking part, go back to writing. Now, I had a teacher when I was in 5th grade who told me that I sucked at writing. And so I think that was something that stuck with me for a long time. I think a lot of us have had experiences like that where someone says something and you're like, oh my gosh, is that the truth? And then we start believing it. And so I sat down and I said, let me write an outline. Let me see how it goes. And I asked the kids, I said, I want to write a book, or I'm going to write a book. I want to include some of your stories. And everybody was like, fine, whatever. Or a couple of them were like, oh, this is cool. And then my daughter Millie said, well, great. Just don't write about me. I said, okay, I'm going to write about my 5 favorite children. Seriously? And she said, okay, fine, do whatever you want. You're going to do it anyways. She goes, but I'm going to hate it. I was like, okay, thank you, teenager. I hear you. And we got the books, and this is like a random journey that I'm telling you here, but we got the books in the house and I asked her to take one picture for social media. She took one. That was all she was going to do. And then she took the book and put it under her sweatshirt and went up the stairs. And I was like, ooh, this is a good sign. So she FaceTimed me about an hour later because, you know, who's going to walk down the stairs to have a conversation, you know? Right. I know. And she was crying. She said, I didn't know the story about Ari's birth sibling wanting to come with you too. I didn't know the story about Noah being a number. You have to read the book and then you'll hear the stories. But so she, and then I said, well, did you read the story about yourself? And she said, not yet. I said, okay, well, call me back. Cause again, stairs are optional. But she actually did come downstairs and she said, I said, so what'd you think? And she said, I think I should say thank you. And I said, oh no, try again. You can say thank you for me making you breakfast or taking you to your friend's house, but not for being your mom. I mean, I'm your mom. And so she said, okay, well, it makes me want to do something nice for someone else. And I said, that I'll take. And yeah, so she didn't hate it. Now, the funniest part was that so her eighth grade teacher called me and said, would you mind if we put it on the optional reading list for summer reading? And I said, well, let me just check. And Millie said, well, as long as it's optional, it's fine. Okay. So then I don't think about it again. That was like in the spring. And I think they got their reading list in June, May or June. And she's in the car with Olivia, who I have the podcast with. And Olivia calls and she's laughing hysterically. She shows me Millie's face and I'm like, what's happening? And she said, oh, it's not optional reading. It's required reading for the entire eighth grade class. And I said, you know what, Millie, like you can be upset about it, but you go to a private school and a lot of the kids there have never seen a different life at all. And I think it's important for them to read this story. And guess what? She got really great feedback. She didn't have, you know, I think, she, you know, when you're that age, you're like, oh, it's embarrassing. Well, it shouldn't be embarrassing. It should be, you should be proud of exactly who you are, where you came from, you know? So it worked out well.
Thank you for sharing that. That's so beautiful. I love just like regular source. You are a storyteller. You are so meant to be a speaker. You just tell stories that are so relevant and just beautiful to just show that even you representing or showing the, your book and then your kids' reactions is just so, it's so beautiful. It just so cute how she reacted the way she is and does sound totally like a teenager.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I wonder how I'm going to take it when my kid's a teenager. But it's so beautiful that also you're able to inspire your kids and your town and the people around you just by doing the work that you're doing. And it all started from your inner work, which is so beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just finished my second book, which is coming out in February. And that one is called Real Confidence, A Simple Guide to Go From Unsure to Unshakable. And that involves the real method, a lot of stories again, but just kind of what was interesting about feedback from this book is that people love the book. Give me a method to go from point A to point B. And so this one has the method in there with a lot of fun stories.
That's awesome. I love that. You're really inspiring me to write my book again because I've been having an idea, but then again, I had that narrative growing up as a first generation ESL kid. Like, you know, I've already been put down like, you cannot write. You're not going to.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely, you can.
Your story is just so inspiring of like, yes, we can do anything we put our minds to. And it's beautiful that you've done the inner work to take you to your purpose of really teaching this to women and other people all around the world. And then you literally living the essence of true like love and spreading the kindness. And it's just beautiful to watch and to have your story and to have you be here and share that with us. And I felt like this is why we were meant to have you be here. And this is why we were meant to actually find each other and be in each other's presence, which is really cool. And it's just, I can't wait to read your second book and we should have you come back to talk about it. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah. If you had any one last message or anything that you would like the listeners to know or hear about today before we end, what would that be?
I would say my biggest message is that we don't need to change who we are. We need to change the way we see ourselves. Everything we need is inside of ourselves. We just have to believe, we have to do the work, and we have to be proud of exactly who we are.
Yeah, it's easier said than done.
Oh yeah, it's easier said than done, but you do the work. It's a practice like anything else, right? I mean, if you want to get fit, you go to the gym. If you want to feel good about yourself, you take the time, you do positive affirmations, you do gratitudes, you do things on a regular basis that really build yourself up so that you can move forward and with confidence that because it's built. It's not something you have or you don't. You build it just like any other skill.
That's true. Nothing is a limitation unless you limit yourself to believe that.
Live without limits.
Yes, live without limits. I love that so much. Last but not least, where can people buy your book or find more about you?
So my book The Extraordinary Unordinary You, you can find anywhere online that you buy books. And you can find me at my website, simonekanego.com, SimoneKnego. And even if you spell it wrong, you'll probably find me because I think I'm still the only Simone Kanego in the world, which is amazing. And that's the thing where you marry someone with a funky last name and put your funky first name with it. And then, you're set. And then I'm on social media. So Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all the things. And I would love to hear from you. If you read my book, if you have a question for me, just reach out. I'm always happy to help.
Awesome. Thank you so much for today and your time and sharing your stories and your knowledge today. I've learned so much and I'm just so excited for all the other things you're doing and for your second book to come out.
Thank you.
For today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me here.
Yes. Bye. Thank you so much for spending this time with me on Ignite Your Power with Kathy Mao podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, take a deep breath and know this, you're exactly where you're meant to be. If you're feeling called to go deeper, I'd love to support you. You can work with me one-on-one or book a numerology guidance card reading with me. All are in the show links below. And if this episode supported you in any way, please share with someone who needs it, leave a review, or take a screenshot and tag me on social media. Your support helps this message reach more souls who are ready to step into their power. Until next time, keep choosing yourself, keep trusting your journey, and keep living your bliss-soft life. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye!